praise the Lord. That's such a comfort and consolation. Amen. He's not only just God in the good times, but he's God in the bad times. It's him that takes us through the bad times. Amen. And said that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So even the bad things you go through, it's going to work out for your good. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here this morning, Father. We thank you for the different ones, Lord, that have made it back, Lord, from the ones that were out of town and so forth, Lord, and you brought them back safely. And we ask, God, you to be with us, God, in this service, Lord. Anoint us now to bring your word, Lord, to be a help to the people, Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn in the Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And we had got at least this one more part of what we've been preaching on these different women of the Bible. We've got one more that was mentioned here in Matthew. And we'll look at what she had in common with the other four that were mentioned. You know, the other four were all Gentiles. And they came from less than seemingly good backgrounds. They either lived a bad life, did bad things, or were from a bad race. And so what would this one that we're going to read about this morning, what would she possibly have in common with them? Let's look at verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away to Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You may be seated. Now, Mary, being a virgin, and, you know, she was a Hebrew, and she, you know, we could look and say of all the five that are named, she would have been the virtuous one. So what could she possibly have in common with these other ones that are mentioned? And why would her name be mentioned? It's because of the reproach. She bore a reproach. All of these five that are mentioned bore a reproach. They bore a reproach for their life. They bore a reproach for what God asked of them to do. And Mary, the Bible says she was espoused, or it means engaged to Joseph to be his wife. And meaning that they hadn't come together to consummate a marriage yet. And here she was, and all of a sudden she's found with child. And never before in time had it ever been that a virgin had conceived. And even though that the priests and the Pharisees and the scribes and all the teachers of Israel, and that they could look in the scripture and see that Isaiah had said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." But yet, even though they seen that, there was unbelief in their lives because they were not willing to receive that this particular woman would have been that one. It didn't seem fitting to them. And they had already worked in their mind things of how they thought the Messiah was going to be when he come and what the Messiah was going to do. And what the biggest thing they were looking for the Messiah to do was to free them from Roman rule, which if you look at it, that would have been so temporal because it would have just been a thing for a time. It wouldn't have been anything eternal because eventually they were going to be delivered from the rule of the Romans anyway. The Roman Empire was going to fall. There has been no empire ever that has lasted that didn't find a place to fall. And, you know, so for the Messiah to come to just do that, that would have been nothing. But that's what a lot of them were looking for. And they had so took in their mind from the scriptures what they thought that he was going to be and what he was going to do. And they molded it around in their own thinking and their own carnal thoughts until they actually disposed of some of the word. And they didn't believe on it. And so that when this happened, they said, "Well, that's impossible. That's never happened. And it's never happened since." And they would have said, "That's impossible." And so the reproach she would have had to bear was that everyone was believing that she had committed fornication. Everyone was thinking that she had been with some other man other than Joseph before coming to be married. And so this was a reproach she had because she had no proof. The angel of the Lord came to Mary. And then the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph. But he didn't come to the rest of the world. He didn't come to the priest down at the temple. He didn't come to the high priest. He didn't come to any of those and reveal to them, "Hey, this is going to happen and it's going to be this young lady down here." And you know, the angel of the Lord didn't go to any of those church leaders. He went directly to the people that was going to be involved in this and revealed to them. It wasn't revealed to the world. Only Joseph and Mary knew about this. And so all the rest of the world would have been looking and saying, "Joseph, what are you going to do? You're going to marry some woman that hadn't been true to you. You're going to marry someone that's like, she's like a whore. And you're going to marry her." And, you know, it was, and they had no proof that the angel of the Lord had come to them. They had no proof that she had, because it was totally against carnal thinking. It was an impossibility for man. So they were scorned. You know, when they went down the street, there'd be the raised eyebrows. And the people looking, rolling their eyes. You know about her, she's with child. Her and Joseph ain't even been together yet. I tell you, I can't believe Joseph. What kind of man is he that he would go ahead and take her in and marry her? I'll tell you, if that be me, she would be killed according to the law. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And the Bible says we should rejoice to bear the reproach of Christ. And Mary was bearing a reproach. Look, Rahab bared a reproach that the fact was she had been a prostitute. Tamar bared the reproach that she had deceived her father-in-law and had him come into her to have children. Bathsheba bore a reproach that, you know, she had committed adultery. Ruth bore reproach that she was a Moabite, a descendant from incest between Lot and his oldest daughter. So all of them bore a reproach. But Mary's reproach, she wasn't guilty of anything. And I'm telling you, people, look, you might say, well, I did this in life, and I did that in life, and I committed this sin, and I had that addiction, and I had this. But when you came to Christ, you're a new creature in Christ. And those old things are put away, and they're underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. And in God's eyes, you're innocent. You never did it. You're not guilty. But yet you bear reproach. What reproach do you bear? The reproach of Christ. That you do silly things like go to church on Sunday when other people are getting over their hangover. You do silly things, you know, and you dress silly. And you dress funny. And you act funny. You're not like everybody else. Once you come to Christ, He makes a difference in your life. Your desires are changed. The things you want to do that you used to want to do, you don't want to do them anymore. Now the things you would have never dreamed about, perhaps you would have done, that's what you desire to do now. You have a good time coming to church and singing songs and worshiping the Lord and getting in the Spirit. You bunch of holy rollers. Fanatics. You know, let me show you what they thought, you know, because I'm saying all these things, but I want to show it to you in the scripture so you can see exactly what they thought of Mary. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Now, John chapter 8, and let's look at verse 39. And this is Jesus, and he's speaking to these religious leaders of the day. And he says, they answered him and said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Now watch. They can't answer for the deeds they're getting ready to do. They can't point their finger at Jesus and say, you've been doing bad things. Except that he done things that was against, you know, the law that they followed. He healed on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath day is what they said. His disciples plucked corn on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to be doing any of that kind of stuff is what they said. They said he sat down and ate with sinner people. And here's what they said. Look, they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. What are they doing? Pointing their finger at him. You were born of fornication. Your mother was with some other man before she come to the man that you call father. See the reproach? It was a reproach even Jesus bore. There, and you realize what Jesus never at any time did Jesus ever try to defend that. Never at any time did Jesus try to say, now hold on, wait a minute now. My mother didn't do no such thing. My mother wasn't a whore. My mother, she was with child of God, of the Holy Ghost. Jesus never tried to explain it. He never tried to lighten the load or the name he was bearing because of that. What name was he bearing? They said he was born of fornication. What were they calling him? A bastard. bore reproach. Imagine, put yourself into Mary's shoes. You know, to commit fornication was worthy of death. Nobody dies for that today. But back then they did. She would have also been considered in some ways of even being an adulteress because of the fact she was espoused to Joseph. And remember how the angel says it to Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." In God's eyes, she was already counted as his wife. And according to the law, if a woman was found with child before coming together with her husband, she would have been killed by the law, made a public example. But Joseph, the Bible says, being a just man, he didn't want to make a public example out of her. He didn't want her to be stoned. So he thought, "I'll just put her away secretly." But then while he thought on these things, and he fell asleep, the angel came to him in a dream. "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that is in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost." It is true, Joseph. She's not guilty of fornication. She's not an adulteress. She is still pure. You see, Jesus had to come that way. But then, there was no proof. There was no way you could prove. You know, when people speak evil of you, your tendency as a human is you'd want to go prove them wrong. That's not correct. You know, they say something false about you, you'd want to go straighten that out and say, no, that's not correct. That I never did that. That's not me. Mary never did that. Joseph never did that. They let themselves be called names. They let themselves be looked at funny. They let evil things be said about them and never went and tried to straighten those people out. Friends, look, people will say evil things about you, and your nature as a human, you'd want to say, "Wait a minute, no, I'm not guilty of that. That's not me. I'm not that kind of person." Barren of reproach. They'll say things about your family that's evil and wrong. They'll tell lies. And you know, when somebody tells a lie on you, you'd like to go straighten that out. I remember when I first came here years ago as a pastor, and there were some things that were told and things and spread around even to other churches. And I just, in my heart, I wanted to get on the phone and I wanted to straighten all that stuff out and say, no, what this person says is not right. I've never done that. I'm not guilty of that. I don't have that. But the Lord spoke to me and said, "I didn't call you to do that. You can't straighten it out. People are going to believe what they want to believe, and you can't change that. There's nothing you can say. As a matter of fact, trying to say things sometimes just makes it worse." And the thing about it is, it hurts. It hurts when people tell lies on you. It hurts when they say things about you or your family. It hurts. And you know, when they say something, you know, about your husband, or say something about your wife, or say something about your children or your family or something like that, why, that hurts you. And you know that's not true. And you'd like to straighten those people out, but friends, they're going to say what they're going to say. They have evil minds. They're possessed by evil spirits. It's demons that cause them to tell the lies and say the things they say. The Bible says that Jesus was despised and rejected of men. Brother Branham said people hated him. Brother Branham asked the question, why? Why did they hate him? He said, because he did right. People will hate you because you live right. Because your life shines a light on the evil that they actually are doing in their life. And people want to justify themselves. You know, over the years, we've had people leave this church and go off to some other church. And they want to justify why they're doing it. And so they got to find some kind of fault with people in the church. They got to find something evil to say about the pastor. They got to find something evil to say about the ministry in the church. They want to disfellowship you. And so to do it, they got to say something evil. Well, Brother Phil backslid. I heard he's not even going to church anymore. Yeah. I had a minister call me up and ask me, said, somebody told me Brother Phil was backslid. He don't even come to church no more. I said, that's not true. I said, whoever told you that, they're lying. I don't know where they had to make that stuff up, because there's nowhere they could have got it from, because it's not true. Yeah. Just what? Make up stuff out of the blue. And people, friends, they want to leave the truth because they want to dress the way they want to dress. They want to wear the things they want to wear. They want to do the things they want to do. But they can't just be a man or a woman about it and say, I want to leave this because I want to do them things. No, they got to say, I'm leaving because of sister so-and-so, or I'm leaving because, you know, brother so-and-so, or the pastor, you know, he won't accept who I want to be with. And friends, all you got to do is look at the life they're living and you can see right through that. It's transparent. They're doing it because they want to live in sin. But they hate you because you living right shows up the sin that they are committing. So they got to find something evil to say about you. And they'll tell lies. I had a couple leave here that Brother Phil and I had counseled with on different times, you know, and here they left here and they had bad things to say about the Roberts, and they had bad things to say about this one and that one and the church, and you know, our church was just totally ate up, you know, sorry, that's a military term. And, you know, we had faults, and we had too many problems. They were the ones running around committing adultery while they were here in church. And then they go to some other church and tell all kinds of lies about us. Why? Because they want to justify their life. Look at their end. Consider their end. They're no longer in church. They're no longer married to each other. And their children, to me, friends, are the ones that really suffer. Because the children then get raised under such stuff. And then they're taught to live in sin. And they're taught to dress sinful. And they're taught to all these other, to live sinful. Because they see mommy and daddy do it. I've seen people over the years, you know, not here, but other places where I was a minister. I've seen people, and I'm not trying to condemn them, but I've seen them leave and backslide while their children were young. And then when they came back, these parents, the children were left out there in the world because they had lived a backslid life before them. And so the children, you know, here they are left out in the world. And I can see their heart wants to see their children living right. And there's been some that's had their children die in that condition. One mother was screaming and crying at the funeral of her daughter, "My baby went to hell." You people here with your families and your children and that, listen to me this morning. Remember these things. You want your children to live right. You want them to be taught right. It's a grieving thing for the rest of the family when somebody leaves and begins to raise their children in the world. Grandpa and grandma, they grieve over it because they see the way their grandchildren are being raised. And you want to see them. You know what, friends? Look, you want to spend eternity with them. Let's just get right down to the bottom line of it. And you realize that when they become of age, of accountability, and they don't turn, you realize you're not going to spend eternity with them. Branded, just like Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? He says, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, which means the prince of devils, if they call, he's talking about himself, if they call me Beelzebub, what do you think they're going to call you? If they call me the prince of devils, what do you think they're going to call you? And why do they call me that? Because I'm living right? Because I'm doing right? Remember when King Saul disobeyed the Lord and didn't go down there and slaughter like he was supposed to and kill every last one of them. And he saved the best. He was supposed to kill all the flocks, the herds, and everything. It was supposed to be destroyed. And he didn't obey the word of the Lord. And remember, God spoke through Samuel and said, "This day have I rent the kingdom from you and give it to your neighbor." And God's anointing rested on David and began to bless David. And Saul was tormented. And Saul was sitting in his palace, and he had called to have a skilled minstrel come up and play so that he could feel better. And so they brought David up there to play his harp. And David's living right. And God's blessing him. And David's trying to do something for his king. And while he's doing it, Saul, in his anger, picks up a javelin and he can't hurl it at God. That's who he's really mad at. So he hurls it at one that God's blessing, David. That's what people do. They're really angry at God over it. Because God won't accept their offering the way they want to give it. What are they? Serpent seed. They're of their father Cain. Because God won't accept it the way they want to give it. I want to live this kind of life, but I want to say I'm a Christian. And God won't accept that. And they're really angry at God. But what they do is they turn their anger on God's people. And they can't hurl javelins at you. but they see God blessing you. So what they do is, you know, they hurl names at you. They hurl lies at you. And you got to bear that. And what are you doing? You're bearing a reproach for living right. You're bearing a reproach for Christ. You're being branded just like Jesus was branded. Brother Branham said, how happy ought we to be 1900 years later to see the same Holy Ghost working in the same kind of people, causing the same results from the outside to point a scornful finger. They scorned the disciples. They spoke evil of his disciples. They spoke evil of his people. They're still doing it. You living right is causing the same results it caused on the disciples. You're bearing a reproach because they point a scornful finger at you. They see you make a mistake and, I thought you were a Christian. I'm human. And you guess what? Jesus died for this very reason. That I be cleansed of these things, that I can be forgiven. Oh my. Turn me to Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See what you get for being persecuted? You get to call heaven your home. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. That means telling evil lies on you. For my sake, rejoice. You're supposed to rejoice when you find this out. Not get to feeling of, boy, I got to run around straighten this out. I got to let them know that ain't true on me. No, you're supposed to get happy about it. So-and-so said such about you. Praise the Lord. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Well, they're speaking evil lies about me. Just shows who I am. I'm one of the despised few. I belong to Jesus. It shows who they are, because somebody's got to talk evil about you. Somebody's got to tell lies on you. What do you do about it? Just get happy. Shows who you are. If they're not talking evil about you, then something's wrong. If they're not making fun of you, something's wrong. You say, well, I ain't been made fun of yet. Just hold on. Just wait. It's coming. Oh, yeah. Sometimes your family will think you're crazy. And you know what? You know what really, really gets down to it? When people that are claiming to believe that we've got an end time prophet. They're claiming to believe this message, but yet they look down at you and tell evil lies about you. tell you one thing, I'd never go to that church. I can tell you one thing, Brother Jerry won't be preaching my funeral. Oh, I'm really tore up about that. Let the dead bury the dead. That's what Jesus said. Look at this. Turn to Luke chapter 6. All this we're reading right now is all in the red letter in your Bible. It's what Jesus said. Chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. What are you supposed to do? Rejoice ye in that day. Leap for joy. Shout a little bit. Dance a little bit. Hallelujah. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Have a hallelujah breakdown when you find out somebody has told a lie on you. Said something that ain't true about you or your family. You know, there's been all kinds of lies spread around this town about Tim Horner. And I'm going to tell you what, Tim ain't worried about it right now. He's in glory. He ain't worried about coming back and straighten these people out and saying, no, I'm not in hell, I'm in heaven. I want to let y'all know. No, he don't care about what they say. Heard said, well, you know what it was? Secretly, he was a homosexual, and that's why he committed adultery on the day of his wedding. You know what? People are going to have to, here's the thing. Great is your reward, but they are going to have to answer for that someday. What are they going to think when they stand there on the day of judgment and Tim's up on this side of the judgment bar? All of a sudden they realize he made it. They're going to be condemned for what they said. Why? Because they said something about a child of God. They said something about somebody who belonged to the Lord. They said something about somebody who was filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you realize, friends, you know, people say, well, you know, only blasphemy is the only sin that can't be forgiven in this life or the life to come. But do you realize where people stand when they're saying things about you? What are they actually speaking against? The God that's in you. They are walking on blasphemous grounds. They're calling to call anything the Holy Ghost has done an evil thing. And the Holy Ghost changed your life. Made you who you are. Leap for joy. Shout. Have a good time. Rejoice about it. Hallelujah. Turn me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 10. Look at this now. Listen. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, but especially those that believe. Because we trust in the living God. we bear a reproach. We're spoke evil of because we trust in the Lord. Turn me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, let's look at verse 24. Praise the Lord. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Y'all know the story of Moses. His mother hid him in a little ark that her father, that her and her husband had made. And they put him out into the Nile and had Miriam, his older sister, to watch over him and see what become of him. And he floats up into the area where Pharaoh's daughter is out there in the water. And she takes him in. And she, you know, she was barren. She couldn't have children. So she takes him in and tells him the gods gave her this child. And then from then on, he's treated like the son of her, of Pharaoh's daughter. He's royalty. But then he comes of age and he begins to realize, I'm not an Egyptian, I'm a Hebrew. And he sees how the Hebrew people's being treated. He sees how they suffer and how they've been enslaved. And he chooses to leave behind being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, to leave behind being called royalty and say, I want to go out and be numbered with them. Choosing rather, verse 25, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The Bible never said sin wasn't pleasurable, but it said it's only for a season. It's only going to last so long. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respected the recompense of the reward. What's the reward? What's the payoff? You're a child of God. You get to live free. You get to, your friends, yeah, the devil still comes and tempts you, but you know what? You live free from him. You overcome him. You overcome the temptations. And it's not you, but it's Christ, the power of God, the Holy Spirit in you. That's where your power comes from. That's where your strength comes from. It doesn't come from your flesh. It don't come from your self-will. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Turn over a couple of pages. Now, before I begin to read this, let me tell you, they would take the beast, the heifer, and they would take it without the camp of Israel, and there they would slay it for a sacrifice, to offer a sin sacrifice for the people. In verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So they took Jesus without of the city. And there's where they beat him. There's where they striped him. That's where they pushed the crown of thorns on his head. That's where they blindfolded him and smote him and said, prophesy and tell us who hit you. That's where they plucked out his beard. Let us, verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. leave the world and go out to Jesus and bear his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This city here that we live in, it ain't going to last forever. It's going to come to an end. It's going to be judged for its sin. It's going to be judged for its pride week. But we have one that is a continuing city that is to come. The New Jerusalem. By him, therefore, verse 15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. God's pleased with the sacrifice that you make in bearing the reproach for being called a Christian. I'll tell you what, so they just plumb went crazy. They used to do this with us, and they used to hang out with us, and now they're hanging out at church. Listening to some man. Not only that, they're giving their money to the church. Bunch of crazy nuts. You realize how crazy you are to some people because you give 10% like the Bible says. Well, I tell the preacher I put an extra 5 in the plate. Well, maybe that ought to be the raise you get at work, an extra dollar. See, people don't look at it that way. They think you're crazy. Brother Branham was praying, and he preached a message on going beyond the camp, 1964. He said, with our heads bowed and our hearts also in this moment, would you raise your hand to say to God, not to me, I'm just a man, raise your hands to God and say, God, be merciful to me. I truly want all the things that I've heard about. I want to go beyond the camp. I don't care what anyone says. God bless you. My, the hands. I want to go without the camp no matter what it costs me. I'll take my cross and bear it every day. I'll go beyond the camp no matter what people say about me. I want to follow him outside the camp. I'm ready to go. You know, Browning family, they were at one time, you know, many of them a bunch of drinkers. But my dad had given his life to the Lord, started preaching when he was 17 years old. He'd give his life to the Lord as a very young teenager. And he never lived that way. And I can remember, you know, us going to spend Christmas with his side of the family. You know, and they couldn't celebrate nothing but without having a drink. And my dad said, I don't want any part of that. And so we become an outcast. It was at that time, it was just me, my mom, and my dad. My brother hadn't been born yet. And we become kind of an outcast because we didn't drink. Of course, I was a child. But because my dad wouldn't. And, you know, they never wanted to tell anybody, well, yeah, my brother, you know, he's a preacher. No, they wanted to keep that hid. Keep it in the closet. But buddy, when they got in trouble, they wanted to pull him out and say, well, hey, could you pray for us? matter what it costs me. I'll take my cross and bear it every day. I'll go beyond the camp. No matter what people say about me, I want to follow him outside the camp. I'm ready to go. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. After this, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then you'll be witnesses of me. We're witnesses of him. You go around and you tell people, ones you used to hang out with, ones you used to drink with, ones you used to smoke pot with, ones you used to do drugs with, ones you used to, do all kinds of other things with, ones you used to go to church with, some of you. And you tell them, I've come to a truth, and God's done something in my life, and this is what I believe. And they look at you and say, well, whatever. That ain't for me. I don't want to hear that stuff. Be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. A Holy Ghost baptism was to last until Jesus returns. A little while and the world sees me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Doing the things that I do, you'll do also. Through his Spirit working, through the church, through you. He said you'd be made fun of. They called me the master of the house, Beelzebub, chief of fortune tellers. How much more will they call them of his household now? Blessed are ye when men shall say all manner of things about you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's scripture, see? There it is, you see? You just got to have it, friend. Now you've got to make your choice. Who are you going to be counted with? Be counted with the Lord's despised few, and have eternal life, and be able to call heaven your home. Know that when this world comes to its end, you're going to be caught up and live forever. You're going to be changed from this vile body. Friends, I can't wait to be changed. This body, see, that's why Satan can tempt you. It's because you're in this unredeemed flesh. That's why Satan can tempt you. But when this flesh is changed, when this mortal puts on immortality, amen, then there won't be no more temptation. Oh, I don't mean Satan won't try to hurl everything, but see, he'll be bound for 1,000 years. After 1,000 years, he's loose to go out amongst the people, where he can gather all those that are not gods. And then he, along with them, will be destroyed. Satan's got an end coming. I've heard ministers say, I want to be there when he's kicked into the pit. I want my foot to be part of it. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we'll gladly bear the reproach of being a Christian. We'll gladly bear the reproach, dear God, to being called a nut, crazy person, for wanting to serve God, for wanting to live right and do the things right. Lord, they even call people, well, you're just a goody two-shoes. And that's actually a slang for something bad. They're actually calling him a bad name. You're just a goody-goody. You can't enjoy life. Boy, whoopee, I'm going to enjoy life. Lord, it's only going to be for a season. Lord, and then their life's going to come to an end. Lord, look what their reward will be. Hell and damnation. Lord, I don't want that. Lord, I want to be with you. I want to be able to rejoice and worship you for all eternity, Lord. For what you've done for me, changing my life. Changing my desires. Changing my want-tos. Lord, I ask your blessings on these dear people this morning. Lord, that you, God, will go with them, God. Give them strength, Lord, to bear these things. Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, because we're supposed to be forgiving, Lord. People who say manners of evil against us, we're supposed to pray for them. Return good for evil. Lord, bless your people. Help them. Give them strength, dear God. I pray today they'll see their reward in heaven. We ask, God, you to go with your people today. Bless them in their fellowships and their gatherings and so forth, Lord, today. Lord, I thank you for your mercy that you have on us each and every day. Keeping us, dear God. And Lord, we're humans. We're full of faults. We make mistakes. But you're ever there to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Lord, thank you, dear Jesus. Bless them now, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.